You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm your host, Parker J., the queen of Tuesday nights. We have such a great show in store for you today. I love when authors take two very disparate things and throw them all together and come up with a fantastic tale. Because when I saw the title of this book, Moonshine Mage, I just started having a ball just imagining what this story is about, especially when the catchphrase is, "Can a moonshiner save the multiverse?" So you already know we are going to go somewhere where we have not gone before with my guest co-host and contributor today, John Stacy Worth, and we'll be talking to him in just a few moments. I want to definitely give you a few announcements. I want to thank you all for your support. My 18th book, An Agent for Brielle, is available today. I published it this weekend, and it's been getting some great reviews. I want to thank you so much for your support. So if you haven't had a chance to get my newest release, An Agent for Brielle, it is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. As always, I want you to consider praying for Elizabeth Chalker and supporting her and her GoFundMe. As you know, she is trying to get a house safe from mold and toxins. So simply go to my Facebook page, find the GoFundMe link, and see about donating to her GoFundMe. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to John Stacy Worth and his book, Moonshine Mage. We'll be right back after these messages.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J., and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you're here with me today. We'll be talking to John Stacy Worth and his newest series, Southern Sorcery. And that starts off with his book, Moonshine Mage. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest co-host and contributor today, John Stacy Worth. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing glorious. Thank you, Parker. I really appreciate you having me on it. I want to say right off the bat, that one thing I loved about your show when I first started listening was the way you introduced yourself, saying the Queen of Tuesday Night. I was thinking, this is a lady who knows who she is in Christ, and
amen.
That just blew me. Yeah, that blew me away. So, thank you for that.
Oh, thank you so much. And, you know, I do consider it just an honor to have you with us, because I never take it lightly when we have people on our show. That's why I always say it. Thank you so much for being with us, because you could have been doing anything else. And so what I want to do is have an opportunity for you to introduce yourself to our audience. So go ahead and tell us who you are in your own words.
Okay. Well, if you go to my Facebook, or it's probably on my Twitter handle. I think we found it there earlier, but I'm a grace-embracing, God-loving husband, father, and comic book enthusiast. So I'm also an author and an artist, and here's a little tidbit for you. My wife's name, I actually, among friends, go by Stacy. Some call me John Stacy, but it's because my wife's name is also Stacy. So we like to keep things, I don't know if it's simple or complicated, you know, one way or the other. But anyway, I have friends that call me Stacy, some that call me John, some that call me John Stacy. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's I embrace all of it. Whatever you want to call me, I'm good with it.
Well, you know what? I actually like John, so I'm going to go ahead and just call you John. How's that? Because,
that sounds great.
You know, I love it. And I like the fact how you and your wife both have the same name. That is awesome. How cute is that, honest to goodness? How long you guys been married?
Oh, that's another thing. We got married in the year 2000. So it's easy math. I can always do math. Yeah, this is 2019. So we're coming up on our 19th anniversary. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. I'm so glad that you got that longevity there, because nowadays I think marriages last, what, 55 hours or something like that?
Yeah.
So the fact that you can go for 19 years is awesome. So congratulations on that. You know, one thing, like I told you, when I saw the cover of this book, Moonshine Mage, when I saw it, I said, what is this all about? And, of course, I got to thinking about every stereotypical moonshine story I could possibly think of. So go ahead, for those who may not know, because there may be some people out there who have no idea what the significance of moonshine is. Go ahead, tell us a little about moonshine, just in our world right now.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you can tell it from my speech or not. I mean, I don't think I have much of an accent. I think other folks from other places do. But I live in Georgia. I grew up in a county that was named after the president of the Confederacy. I grew up in Jeff Davis County in Georgia, I really never knew how Southern I was until I joined the military, and I was in the Navy for 4 years, and then I found out, you know, I got a lot of culture shock there, like a lot of folks do when they go into the military. But I've always loved books, reading, and I was drawn. I'm a kid of the 70s and the early 80s. That's when I grew up.
Okay.
I was born in 68, so there you go. There, it gives you an idea of how old I am. But I grew up in a small town, reading whatever I could get my hands on as soon as I learned how to read. And I said, you know, earlier that I was a comic book enthusiast. I could look at the pictures in the comic books before I could read. And so I was drawn to that. And really, my love of comic books helped me to learn to read and to learn how to draw. I learned to draw by copying the folks and the artists. You know, when most people think of comic books, they think of Stan Lee and, you know, all the movies that are coming out now. I think about people like Jack Kirby or Joe Kubert or the artists that I loved growing up and tried to emulate. And now I was really drawn to Tarzan. And then I started reading the books, Edgar Rice Burroughs and all the pulp fiction. And then I found a local library, started reading all the science fiction fantasy that I could get my hands on. Okay, that's a long-winded intro into answering your question.
Oh no, you're fine.
But I love urban fantasy, taking elves and magic dragons, that sort of thing, and bringing it into a contemporary setting. You know, that to me is just really fun to read. And I wanted to try my hand at writing it, but most urban fantasy is, I mean, hence the genre title, urban fantasy. It's set in a city. I don't live in a city. You know, I've spent time in, you know, larger areas. I've been to New York. I've been to places like San Francisco. Being in the Navy, I got to visit a lot of places. I was homeported out of Norfolk, Virginia. And, I've been around and I've seen some things, but I'm not familiar enough with a city to really make an urban fantasy set in a city come off as believable. And I thought, what do I know about? I know about the South. I know about the rivers, the swamps. The things I was surrounded by growing up. I know about pickup trucks and, you know, shotguns, going hunting, going fishing, that sort of thing. And I was like, how can I take that and take my, you know, love for fantasy and have an urban fantasy set in a rural setting? I guess you could call it rural fantasy or backwoods fantasy or southern fried fantasy or whatever. But
right.
Amazon doesn't break the categories down that far. So most of them are slotted into urban fantasy or one thing I do have in my books too, and I don't make apologies for it at all, is my faith. My faith colors everything I write. It just, you know, I don't think I could suppress it if I tried. So I write the stories, and I'm something of a pantser, meaning I write by the seat of my pants. I do a little bit of plotting, but I don't go deep with it. And the book itself, it's about a boy who's 15 years old, that he's growing up in the South, and he's the son of a seventh generation moonshiner, and he thinks that that's who he is, and that's all he's known. So he's surprised to discover that he's really from another dimension. He was rescued by his earthly father, who is a Green Beret veteran, and has raised him. And the main character's name is Elijah Hatton. And Elijah, you know, that's a biblical name, but it's also very, very southern. You know, Eli, you would hear that. You would hear that name. And the last name Hatton is actually taken from the road my grandmother used to live on. It was a road in our town called Hatton Steel Road. And the story I always heard was that so I used that as a tie-in there. And one thing about the whole moonshine aspect, when I started thinking about it, I was like, do I really want to go there? I mean, this might turn some Christians off and that sort of thing. But I was like, you know what, I'm going to write the story that comes to me that I think God wants me to tell, and it'll find the right readers. But I got to looking into the history of moonshine, and the word whiskey actually comes from an Irish and a Scottish term. It's I can't even really pronounce it right, but It's wishkaba. Okay?
Yeah,
and it
I
means,
know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, I've seen that word. I don't know how to pronounce it either.
Yeah, well, that's the best I could find on YouTube. But it means water of life. And once I discovered that, I was like, okay, it means water of life. And Jesus talks about living water. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's something there. And so I started going with it. And the moonshine in these books isn't like your ordinary moonshine. That's why the title, Moonshine Mage, it refers to the main character coming to realize who he is, what he's capable of, and he can turn moonshine into as the sanctified liquid that can heal people and can soothe pain and even prolong life if it's in the right hands. If it gets in the wrong hands, it can be used for other purposes. So that's kind of the idea behind the whole title and the first book.
Well, the interesting thing about it is, I don't know if you can hear me or not, but the interesting thing about it is that with moonshine, it's often used as something that's backwoods. You know, like backwoods is against prohibition.
Yeah.
People are making their own moonshine. You hear stories about, well, that moonshine made them go blind and all this other stuff that you hear. So that's kind of unique that you're twisting the moonshine and turning it into something else. And then another thing that you said that has got to touch on, because I am a city girl. The closest I ever came to being away from the city was when I was at a camp here in Michigan a couple of years ago, and every scary movie motif that has ever happened in scary movies happened that day, because I was the only African American, literally. I was the fat one, and I'm in a bunch of trees, and we're in a cabin, and I saw a crow, then I saw a cornfield. I mean, every scary movie motif that happened that weekend. But thankfully, I'm still here because I didn't get bit by the bear. And so, you mentioned something like swamps. I'm like, swamps? You know, I mean, this, like, for me, that's like a whole other world. I couldn't even imagine being near a swamp. I don't even know what that even feels like. But I'm kind of glad you mentioned it, because what we like to do on the show is encourage people to write what they know. And like you said, you didn't live in a big city. You didn't live in a big city. You visited them probably, but you didn't live there. But you know what you know. So you took what you know, and you took this element, moonshine, and you threw them all together, and you got Moonshine Mage. So that's what's really exciting about your book, is that you're taking a different take on fantasy. And it's in, like I said, the backwoods, you know, especially with, you know, he thinks he's a moonshiner. Come to find out, I'm not even from here.
That's right.
From
this
world. So that's exciting to get into that. So we're going to go ahead and take a really quick break. For those of you who are listening in, you can call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Write Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask? club members and authors at your next book club meeting. Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use a discussion question. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. I am your host, Parker J, the queen of Tuesday night, talking to John Stacy Worth. He is the author of the Southern Sorcery series, and the first book that we're talking about today is Moonshine Mage, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up a copy of this book today. Do you like magic? Do you like moonshine? Do you like the multiverse? This is the book for you. And John, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the show. Very excited to delve into this book to really get into what you're doing with taking all these different elements and putting them together. Because I could honestly say Moonshine Mage would not have come to mind. But you also say, can a moonshiner save the multiverse? And for those of you who are listening to me, you already know there is so much talk about the multiverse, parallel worlds, things of that nature. So let's talk about the multiverse, because this is one topic that I enjoy delving into. Do I think the multiverse exists? No. Will I be upset if I found out that it did? No. Is God still the Lord of all? Yes. That's exactly how I feel about it. So that's why I'm so excited to talk about the multiverse. So in your opinion, what does the multiverse mean to you?
Okay, to me, in my story, I'm using it as a story device to set up a way for this character to have an impact that is bigger than his immediate world. Okay, and two, I don't intentionally do this when I write. I think some of it just is either a subconscious thing, or it may even be a God thing, because I do pray over what I write that, that God will help me tell the story that he wants me to tell whenever we co-labor together. And I see it as kind of a way to ask big questions. And, there is another realm outside of Earth. There's a spiritual dimension that we don't always see with our natural eyes. There is a heaven, and there are angels. If you believe the Bible as the written word of God, mm-hmm. There's all kind of stuff in there that is just really like larger than life, and the miracles and walking on water and resurrecting from the dead, those kind of things. And for God to come into a human form and live like one of us so he could redeem us, he's leaving his heavenly realm to come here to the natural world that he created. And so I see it as, not so much as, see, I don't even know if I believe in it myself, as far as there being other universes out there, but I saw it as a way to ask some of the bigger questions and to draw some comparisons and analogies. Just like I can think my world is really, really small, and that I only have an impact that reaches a few people that are right around me. Well, what if I'm wrong about that? And
yeah,
I really believe that we're living in a time to where it's just like me and you talking right now. 20 years ago, it wouldn't have been possible for me to publish the book and to reach as many people as I've reached without going through a publishing house, and to even talk to someone over the phone about it and have it broadcast to people that I don't even know, and then them get on the computer and look it up. You know, we're just living in a really great time. But as far as my character is concerned, he actually comes from another realm. He is an elven prince and also an orphan. And it's because a warlock betrayed this kid's parents. He was a trusted advisor. I'm not going to tell the whole book, but just a, 10,000 foot view here. And this is all in the blurb if you read it. But he kills the king and queen. The queen escaped with her baby, but she leaves her world with an arrow through her shoulder and her baby in her arms. She comes through a portal to our world, where she is rescued by the father figure in the book, who's the Green Beret veteran and also a moonshiner. And he takes the baby and raises the kid as his own. And as she's dying, she tells him things that he'll need to know later. But the child is disguised through magic to look like one of us. He looks just like a human until the time when he reaches a certain age, and the warlock on the other side in this other dimension can feel that there's a power and a magic that's been lost and dormant that's coming back to life, and it's a threat to him. So now the kid's a threat, and so the warlock's going to start coming for him. And he doesn't just want the world that he's in. He wants ours. And he wants – there are seven different realms mentioned in my series, and he's wanting to spread his power and influence into all of them. Now, I'm only on book three. I've got book three written. I'm working on book four, so I really can't say how far this – the series is going to get into touching on each one of the realms, but so far I've had action take place on three different worlds. So and that's kind of where the multiverse idea is coming into play. There's a warlock wanting to gain control of all of them, and this one kid, Eli, who is going to be the chosen one, so to speak, to stand in the way and to hopefully build a team around himself so he can stop the bad guy.
And that's the nice part about fantasy. It gives you that ability to classic elements of fantasy, but you're doing it with a different take because, like you said, it is the rural area. It is, for the lack of a better term, backwoods. This is the backwoods of, the U.S. of A. And we already talked
that's
about
right.
Does the story take place in Georgia?
Yeah. Well, it's
yeah. So
it takes place, like I said, on different worlds. It starts here. And then he jumps from our world to his home world to another world, back to our world. So there's some – I've heard some people use the term portal fiction, so I'm not sure if that applies or not. But there's some of that in there. And there's some things in the book that people from the South, will recognize, and other folks will probably read it. And I try to steer away from being – overtly stereotypical. Now, some of the stereotypes are there because there's an element of truth there. But I didn't want to paint all the Southerners as kind of backwards or uneducated and that sort of thing, because I've seen that done in media before. And sometimes it's just a good-natured, poking fun at something, poking fun at yourself, and I'm okay with that. But sometimes it's kind of an insult, and I definitely don't want to write something that's insulting to the folks that I love and live around, and you know, this is what I call home, you know. So I don't want to paint too much of a stereotype there, but there are things that, you know, hunting takes place, and there's, you know, I'm working to put some more elements in there about the kid's upbringing, as far as, you know, how he learned to live off the land and that sort of thing. But you know, my kids, I take my boys out to go hunting and have them outside, and you know, my oldest is 16. He knows how to skin a buck. You know, he knows how to he knows a proper way to take a weapon out into the woods and to safely harvest an animal. And that's something that we do. I make sure we spend time doing those sort of things. And so you'll see some of that in the books. And, you know, the whole one of the things that the father has is a pickup truck. And I don't know how it is where you live, Parker, but around here, and especially where I park out at work, there's just pickup trucks as far as I can see.
You know, it's funny that you say that. No, I actually had a pickup truck for a while. I had a Ford F-150.
Yeah.
I had a Ford F-150 for a while.
Yeah.
I love my truck, and I have short legs, so it's funny seeing me trying to get into this big old truck. But I loved it, and I felt so much bigger in this truck. Like, I had, you know, short woman attitude and stuff like that. And for those of you who are listening in, we are talking to John Stacy Worth. He is the author of the series Southern Sorcery, and we're talking about his first book, Moonshine Mage, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Let me tell you, if you like moonshine, and you got to tell me that yourself, if you like moonshine, you like magic, do you like the multiverse, this is the book for you. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy of Moonshine Mage today. And if you're hanging online and want to ask John a question or just comment on our topics, make sure you go call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, more with John Stacy Worth and his book, Moonshine Mage. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services, to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products, to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you're here with me today. We are talking to John Stacy Worth. He is the author of the book Moonshine Mage, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So if you like moonshine, you like magic, you like fantasy, and if you like the multiverse, this is the book for you. And John, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the show. We do have a caller calling in. We have R.D. Palmer calling in from Wisconsin. R.D., how are you doing today?
I'm doing very good, Parker, and good to hear you and good to hear John. I wanted to ask a question, John, because of the fact that the book sounds very interesting, and specifically it deals with, it sounds like, with Christianity and some fantasy. What would be the one takeaway that you would have us as people that's looking at your book to understand, or that you really want us to understand about your book?
I've got a few themes, and I appreciate the question, R.D. Thank you for calling in. But I've got a few themes that run through the book, and one of them, and I noticed it early on because I don't write with the intent of putting theme or anything like that in. I just start putting the story down as I've got it to that point, and then in hindsight start looking and see, okay, what are my characters saying, what's going on here? But I'll have those moments where a character will say something and I'm like, wow, that's really good. Why didn't I think of that before? I gotta make sure I remember that. But one thing one of the characters says is because the main character is going to, and you know, he's trying to take back a throne that's rightfully his, that was stolen by the warlock that has murdered his parents. And when he first begins to encounter the people of his world, they look at him differently, and they kind of put him on a pedestal, and they put themselves lower. And one of the characters says, I'm not worthy to call you by your name. I'm going to call you by your title. And he said, because he's introducing himself, and he says, well, what should I call you? And she says, well, you can call me anything. I'm nobody. And he says, there ain't anybody who's a nobody. And I get the feeling that you're a somebody among somebodies even now. So, you know, one of the things I would want people to take away is that we are all significant. That even, you know, people that are very different from us, or, you know, that you seem to have nothing in common with, or you look at and you think, you know, they don't have it all together or whatever. You know, none of us have it all together. There's big glaring blind spots that all of us have, and we all need grace in Jesus. And in Him, we're all significant. We're sons and daughters of a King, and that's one of the big takeaways that I'd like people to have when they come away from it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
R.D., thank you so much for calling in. For those of you, I got to put a plug in for R.D. here. R.D. Palmer is our guest, who's been doing a series on artificial general intelligence. We've been following it on our Saturday show. Make sure you keep it locked there. So, R.D., thank you so much for calling in today.
Welcome. Oh, hey, R.D., I want to say I've enjoyed that, too. I've listened to there were three installments, I think. I've listened to two of them.
Mm-hmm.
But those were really good podcasts.
You're welcome,
oh,
John.
Thank
and I
you.
Am interested,
thank you so much.
And I am interested in your book, John. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.
You know, what's so exciting about what you're doing and what you just said there, you know, you said even though we're different, we still are pretty much the same. And that's so important right now with a lot of racial tensions in the U.S. flaring up and down. And you could say it's caused by one faction. You could say it's caused by the other faction. But the only person you can control is yourself. And so that's why,
sure,
I choose not to be part of those topics. What I mean by part of topics, I mean I don't want to continue that friction, you know. 'Cause
that's right.
you know, it takes one person to not say anything. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm glad you said that, John.
And the way I feel about it too, Parker, is there's a verse mm-hmm. that, you know, just came to mind. It's we're not wrestling with flesh and blood here. These are our fellow humans, and God loves them. You know, if somebody is on the other side of the fence, get up close to them. It's hard to hate mm-hmm. somebody when you're close to them. So I've got people that I consider very close friends that politically have very different views than what I have, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I had a friend mm-hmm. at work once who he professed to be agnostic, and mm-hmm. he knew I was a believer. And when we first started becoming friends, I knew it was kind of a touchy subject for him, and I told him, I said, look, man, I said, I'm not going to sit here, and I said, you're not my project to evangelize. That's not what I'm about. I just want to be your friend. I said, you don't mm-hmm. have to believe everything I believe for us to be friends. That's not where it's at.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes those conversations will naturally come, and because I think sometimes the Lord puts certain people in our lives because we're either planting the seed or we're going to water the seed or we're going to help it grow, and we're putting people's lives for a reason. Maybe you're not there to do that. Maybe you're just to be the plant or just the water. You never know. And sometimes when we evangelize, we can be so misdirected, thinking that, mm-hmm. oh, I've got to browbeat this over the head with the Bible, and that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do more evangelizing by just being there and listening to someone when they're having a bad day or something like that.
That's
so right. I commend you for that, John. I really commend you for that. And so with Moonshine Mage, one of the themes that you talk about is the fact that discovering who you really are. I know that's one of the things
mm-hmm.
that you talk about, because he discovers that he's not of this world. He is Elvin King. And like I said, in the synopsis on the Amazon page, you see a lot of the synopsis there. You know, so what are some of the other themes that you discuss in Moonshine Mage that you think will resonate with readers?
One thing that I discovered, and I think I was probably in book two or maybe even the beginning of book three when it started to really jump out at me, was the main character, because I think he felt like such an outsider for most of his life, he has a hard time relying on other folks, and it's going to take more. He can't do everything on his own. What he's called to accomplish is beyond his ability. He just cannot do it all by himself. Fortunately, he's got a group of people around him that care about him, that become his friends. You know, some are family, some are friends, and he begins to realize over time that he's got to start being vulnerable with these folks and trusting them and including them in what he's doing. And that's a big one. I think here in America especially, we have this independent pride that I pulled myself up by my bootstraps, all that kind of stuff, and that's just I don't think that's healthy. I think God wants us to be dependent on each other, and that's why, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why we are to come together, you know, as a body, is because I might have something that somebody else needs, and why didn't God just tell it to them instead of putting it on my heart to share it with them? Well, it's because he wants to build relationship. He doesn't want us independent. He wants us dependent on him and on each other. So that's the other really big one. And that one was kind of a reflection of myself, really. When I started reading that, I was like, okay, that hits really close to home, because I definitely struggle with that a lot in life.
And, you know, I have to go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, mm-hmm. and it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." And when he says,
That's
"Forsake
right.
not the assembling of yourselves of ourselves together," you know, he was talking about church, but he's also talking about community. He's talking about relationship.
That's right.
God, he is into relationships. The first relationship he made was marriage, but he also made that communion between Adam and himself. There's a relationship there. You know, God knew that we were never meant to be alone, that we were always, you know, people who are alone, what happens? They tend to go crazy because, what, there's no mm-hmm. one there. Or they, or like in, what was that movie, Castaway, with Tom Hanks.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
He has the tennis ball, he calls it Wilson, and when Wilson
yeah.
fell off the,
yeah,
I mean, he had a he breakdown, you know, because there was
oh,
no one
when
to
Wilson
to.
Goes out, but, yeah. Like, I'll never do that again, Wilson. Yeah.
I mean, and Wilson, I mean, that was his sanity there. That was gone,
right.
You know. And so I like how you said that vulnerability of admitting that we do need each other. That is
oh, yeah.
a strength. It's not a weakness. Some people see vulnerability as a weakness. It is not. It's a strength. And I'm glad that you're using this unique setting of your book, Moonshine Mage, to kind of bring that about. Because a lot of people say, oh, you know, all the women independent, all that kind of stuff. You know, we
mm-hmm.
we do all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's like, you know, I got to say this, and this is probably off topic, but I was, my car has stopped or something, John, and I was really wishing a man would come up and fix my car. I mean, like, it was something wrong with it. I knew how to do it. I could have did it myself, and I did do it myself because I had no choice.
Right.
But I missed the days where a gentleman would come and say, hey, can I help you with your car? But then nowadays you're scared you're going to get killed by somebody or something because people are kind of crazy.
Or the guy won't know
and I just,
how to fix it.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know either, or he just walked by
yeah.
and, you know, whatever. And I was like, I miss those days because for me,
right.
my father took care of all that. I didn't even know how to put in the oil, for example. My father
yeah.
did all that. And then I got married.
Oh,
my husband says, you gotta learn how to do this yourself. I'm like, but that's what you're here for. You know? I told him, I said, this is what you're here for. You're the man. You take care of it. So I had to learn how to do it on my own. But
I don't
yeah.
change the oil in my F-150 just because I think they built the truck around the oil filter. But my oldest son, we got him a 2011 Toyota Tacoma, and first time
mm-hmm.
I popped the hood and looked under that thing, I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we can get to this. We can. I'm going to teach you how to get in there and work on this. Yeah, we can fix this.
That was another thing I wanted to remark on when you were talking about what you do with your son. Like you go hunting with your sons and you show them how to live off the land. And that is very important because one of the movements happening in our current society is that call back to nature, you know, learning
yeah.
how to take care of yourself. A lot of people think, especially if you're like a prepper, a lot of people think that we're on the verge of a collapse, so they want to be able to know how to take care of themselves. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. But I
right.
like the fact that you're teaching your son life skills because it was me, and you told me, hey, Parker, go skin a buck. I'm sorry. I'm leaving because the only chicken I know is what's in the package at the store. I know it comes from a chicken, but that's
mm-hmm.
about it. I mean,
yeah.
I could cut up a chicken. You know, it's already dead. I got that. I got that covered, you know.
Right.
But,
right.
yeah, I'm not about to go out into the woods to go get my food and skin it and make shoes and moccasins and all that. I'm not about to do all that.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that you teach those skills to your children because they learn how to survive, you know, regardless, because you're teaching them those skills. What were you going to say?
Yeah, and I was, you know, my oldest son, he really loves hunting. My youngest son, he's got other hobbies, but
mm-hmm.
he still loves being outdoors. They're both in scouts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our family vacations are more about going camping and hiking and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. I like the fact that you guys go camping because I think I told you my camping story, every horror movie motif that happened. You know? And one of the things that happened, one of my friends, she was like, well, Parker, you want to go with her to back up to the cabin? I said, no. So I didn't, you know. I said, no, I'm not going to be the lone person going up to the cabin. And then next you know, where's Parker? You know, I'm not having that. So yeah, I'm definitely a city girl. I don't do camping. If I see a fly, I'm jumping on top of a chandelier. You know, it's not happening. So I commend those who do that because I'm not one of them at all. So you know what? We're getting close to the end of our show, John, so I want to just ask you a few questions about your writing process. And the reason why I ask this is because I want authors who are listening to the sound of our voice to know, what do you do to write? So if God has given them that story idea to write, that they can take what you have and apply it to themselves if possible. So go ahead and tell us what your writing process is like. And I know you said you're a pantser, so you don't really, you may have a slight outline, but not really. But what else does your writing process look like?
Well, a lot of times it's the hardest thing for me is just finding the time to sit down and do it. And I don't believe in waiting for the muse to strike or anything like that, because I found that even if I just sit down and I say, okay, I'm going to throw this first paragraph away, if I'll type that first paragraph, I'll get into the flow. It'll come. But, you know, I do pray, not every time I sit down to write, but there have definitely been times when I've sat down, especially when I'm starting a new series or a new book in a series, and I'll sit down and pray about it and say, God, which way do we need to go? What story do you want to tell? What am I supposed to write about? And you know, I may get some insight that way. God's actually in the past dropped specific images into my mind to use in stories. So that's, you know, that's not far-fetched at all. But my process is really I want to know who the main character is. He's, you know, if it's a male or female, they've got to have some kind of an obstacle. You know, it's the hero's journey. You've got to kick them out of their everyday normal life, and they've got to pass this point of no return. So I'll kind of think about what's that going to look like, and way out there somewhere, I'll see where the end is. I know where this story needs to end. I know how it needs to end. Once I have that, then I can go. And I may sit down and write down some big plot points, like, you know, chapter 1 through 20, and then put one sentence for each one if I've got it. If I don't have it, I'll just start where I am with what I've got and start writing. But the biggest thing, you know, for me is just find the time, make the time. And if it's 200 good words a day, that's, you know, if that's all you can do, that's great. There are some days when I get nothing. The series that I'm working on now, I wrote the first three books last year. And the fourth book is coming a bit slower. I had to do like a major rewrite on book three just because I think I was trying to outline too much with it, and it ended up driving me into a corner that I really didn't feel was true to the story or to the character. So, I just scrapped 100 pages or so and started winging it again. And for me, that works better. For some people, I would say, you know, find out what works for you. But for me, it's a very loose outline, know where I'm starting, know where I'm ending, and then the things in between, I trust, you know, between my subconscious and the Holy Spirit, or whatever you want to call it, you know, working with me, that the story elements will find their way in there. There's one character that I tried to kill that would not die. Another character I didn't want to see die, that passed away. And, you know, it's like, yes, I'm writing this, but I don't always have complete control. Sometimes I don't even know what they're going to say until they say it. And, you know, those are those good little surprises that show up when you're making art. And I think you learn, you know, while you're doing it, you find out what it's about sometimes. You start off one way and then it ends up somewhere else. But I don't know that I really have a process. I'm not going to sit down and write a book on here's how to write a book, because it's not going to work for everybody. It's probably not going to work for very many people, but it's what works for me. So that's what I'd say, is find out what works for you and go with that.
I like how you made the comment about how you think you outlined it too much and then you had to go back and rewrite. I totally feel you on that. One time, all the plotters were kind of talking in the Facebook group. I'm like, well, let me try to plot because I don't plot. I pants myself. Let me try to plot. And I plotted out this book over maybe a seven-month period. That story has not been written because I felt like the joy of writing that story was taken out. Now, some people plot very well. They're very logical. They can think linearly. I don't think linearly. I'm more of like an emotions person. Like, what is my character feeling right now? And I've said it before, and don't judge. Don't judge, John, okay? But I get most of my ideas when I'm in the bathroom, okay? I get most of them in the bathroom, and I'm sitting there or looking in the mirror or whatever. I'm in there, and all of a sudden I go, oh, my gosh, she's saying this or he's saying that, and I get it right there. I can take a shower, and I get an idea in the bathroom.
Yep.
That's how it works for me. I'm kind of very inspired in the oddest places, or when I'm driving my car. That's when I kind of get the ideas. I'm like, well, it's too bad I can't write it down right now.
I've done that myself. I mean, I think sometimes you just have to get away from it for a minute. And talking about in the shower, I've had things come to me in the shower. It's like, oh, that's what's going to happen next. Oh, yeah, I didn't see it. And it would be so much better than, you know, when I tried to plot. Gosh, that just I think if I plot too much, I feel like the story is already told, and I don't have to write it down as part of the problem. But part of it too with that one, Parker, it was just it was I painted myself into a corner that it just didn't feel like I was going the wrong direction. It was just like I was totally off, you know. So I had to fix that. But yeah.
You know, John, it has been such a lovely, lovely time having you with us. If people want to connect with you online, where can they find you?
Okay. I have a website, and it's called fictionworthreading.com, and that is a play on my last name. And it may sound arrogant, but as I say on the website, it's not like I'm setting out to write fiction that's not worth reading. So fictionworthreading.com, or you can go to jsworth.com, and you can look me up on Facebook as well, John Stacy Worth. You'll find me that way too. And Fiction Worth Reading on Facebook is my fiction page, but I'll put updates there sometimes. And anyway, there's a sign-up list on my website for a free short story collection if anyone's interested in joining the fellowship is what I call it. But that's where I'm found, fictionworthreading.com. That's the main one, or jsworth.com.
John, I want you to encourage those authors out there whom God has given the gift to write to pick up a pen and do so.
Okay, I would just say if you feel the desire to write, I believe that's a God-given thing. Art is, I think sometimes our culture doesn't value art. We all hear the term starving artist, which I think is completely ludicrous. Artists should not starve. God is an artist, and God is creative. And if you're a writer and you feel like you have stories to tell, I would say just be encouraged that God's put that in you. That doesn't mean that you're going to sit down and write the next best-selling novel, but it doesn't mean you won't either. I would say it's some of it is passion, some of it is a skill you develop, but the bigger picture, if you're a Christian and you feel like God's called you to do it, calling is a very holy, it's a very sacred and wonderful thing. You get to co-labor with God. I mean, that's an offer I wouldn't want to turn down. I don't think anybody wants to look back on their life and say, well, I should have tried. No. Get out there and swing, you know. Get out there and take a swing at it, and just if you fail, hey, I've I tell people I'm a writer and I've got the rejection slips to prove it. I finally got tired of waiting for people to give me permission, you know, or to tell me I was good enough. And my first series that's out there is about Noah. I sat on that thing for 10 years. It was written well before the movie came out with Russell Crowe. I had that written years ago, and I tried to shop it around, and I kept getting these rejection slips that said, biblical fiction is a hard sell right now, or the only authors that are selling this type of fiction are the more well-known Christian authors like Francine Rivers. And I love Francine Rivers, by the way, but I was just like so discouraged that I just shelved it. And then I saw that movie and I was like, you completely missed the heart of Noah. That's not the Bible. He's not trying to kill a baby, for crying out loud. I was like, I put my book out there. And
Goodness. Some people enjoyed it. I know one Christian brother of ours, we were like, okay, I didn't see Noah because I had read, I think, Albert Mohler's review of Noah. And he kept saying, I'm not kidding. And every time he kept saying that, I kept laughing because he goes, I'm not, and he wasn't. He said, I'm not kidding, you know. And he said, you need to stop that because this and this. All right, fine. But then, you know, I love Noah's stories. I actually got, you know, I got Noah. I told you I got Noah. And I'm looking forward to delving into that. So for those of you listening, John has other works out there too, not just Moonshine Mage and the Southern Sorcery series, but he also has a Noah series. And Noah's a fascinating part of the biblical narrative that I think all of us can appreciate what's going on. We kind of see trends of that going on right now, as the Lord said we would. He said we would see these things. And so it's not really a surprise. You kind of go like, oh, there's the Lord right again. So I'm really glad that you took time out of your schedule to be with us today, John. And, you know, as I always say, thank you again. And I cannot wait to have you back on the show and have you back with us. So thank you for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, Parker. I appreciate it so much. Thank you for what you do for Christian authors, having them on the show and giving them exposure to folks that they might not otherwise reach. So I don't know how you find time for all that and writing, but I really appreciate it. And Peter, if you're listening, Peter Young, husband, who referred me to you, he's really been a big help to me. And his blog, Perspectives by Peter, is worth checking out too. He does an awesome job at promoting Christian authors. So I appreciate both of y'all. Thank you so much, John.
And we were talking today to John Stacy Worth. He is the author of the book Moonshine Mage, which is part of the Southern Sorcery series, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Let me tell you, if you like moonshine, you like magic, multiverses, maybe an elf or two, warlocks, this is the book for you. Make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy and find out what Moonshine Mage is all about. One thing I got to say is that John really inspired me because he took his own background and he took his imagination and he created a story. Is that story in your mind right now, what you're trying to do? Why are you sitting on your talent? Why are you not picking up the pen and writing? What is holding you back? Are you afraid? Don't let fear stop you. We do not have a spirit of fear. What's holding you back? Financial circumstances? Guess what? You're not in a rush. You just want to get the book done sometime before you die. So go ahead, pick up the pen and write. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at ParkerJCole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.